The following podcast contains real reviews and the ridiculous reactions of two would-be oracles of the internet. The opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Seriously.
To ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
This is a podcast, man. It's on the internet. It's got comedy in it, hopefully. It's about internet reviews from places like Amazon, Google, Yelp. And we take those internet reviews, we read them, and then, and then the comedy comes. Sorry to give it to you in the reverse order.
This is just nature. This is just facts of life.
we're just following the facts, the sort of blueprints that Mother Nature laid out for us.
The ever-flowing ebb and tide of comedy and internet.
And internet review. It's sort of an Ouroboros eating its own tail.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I have an IMDb review that I feel like is interesting.
Interest me, sir.
Yeah, this is an IMDb review for the television show entitled Gilligan's Isle, or Island, as some people might know it. IMDb user Queen of the Goons titles their review Childhood Gem. They write, "I've always loved Skipper. Gilligan can be annoying, and the professor is a villain in westerns. Jim Backus I like, and of course, those who know me well know I am a woman hater. I can tolerate Marianne and Mrs. Howell, but not sleazy Ginger. She said it ruined her career, then maybe you shouldn't have played it this way, but she did the same on Dallas, so whatever. The Haunted House episode is the best, followed closely by An Invisible Gilligan. I love it. Oh, and who could forget about Wrongway? He's so cute. 10 out of 10. Now, I could see it was a 10 out of 10 when I started reading the review, but by the time I get to the bottom of that, I'm not ready for it to, again, be a 10 out of 10.
Right. There's a lot of cutting criticism. You know, we got ourselves a Gilligan loaf here, and she is trying to cut it right. And she's dissecting it, taking little parts out of it, and no way that loaf is looking clean and 10 out of 10 by the end of
that. This loaf is not sliced orderly. Like somebody said, it's the best thing since sliced bread. And she said, well, I need to invent a new way to slice bread.
Yeah, she's trying to make little Tetris shapes.
Little sideways, little strange backwards. In and
geometry.
Out.
Geometry.
Playing Jenga with a loaf of bread.
Right. And that's just not how you do it. That's just not how you enjoy Gilligan's Island without the ladies.
The ladies.
Give it up for the ladies.
Pretty sure, woman hater or not, the ladies were most of the draw for a lot of people.
That's very true. I don't think Gilligan had that island without the ladies on there.
No, no. They wouldn't have gone out on a 3-hour tour were it not for the ladies.
That's true. And I think Gilligan, the skipper would have probably eaten Gilligan. There probably would have been some sort of horror movie, Lord of the Flies. I mean, it's just Lord of the Flies without the ladies, isn't it?
Yeah, how long till Gilligan's Island goes into the public domain so we can see that awful reinvention?
Yeah, the budget horror movie. Like, no one wants that. That's what I, when I see those, I'm like, who wants that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think horror movie Gilligan's definitely ripe for parody, though. But it'll be in the wrong hands. So what do we make of the real world accusations here?
I don't know. I don't remember the actress's name who played Ginger, but this was before our time, so I can't claim I followed any of their careers pre,
sure,
during,
neither,
and post a seminal classic like Gilligan's Island.
It sounds to me like she's taking it a little personal. She said she didn't want to be on the show. Bitch.
Maybe you shouldn't have been such a little hussy on that show then, huh?
Yeah, you were a hussy on that other show, weren't you? But I digress, hussy.
Yeah, I can understand an actor or actress, any performer being like, ugh, I kind of feel like I was pegged as just that thing that I was super like.
Sure.
But if you talk to Frankie Muniz, he's like, people call me Malcolm every day. You know what? That's because you're a hussy, Frankie.
Yeah, you shouldn't have played Malcolm like such a little hussy. Maybe you wouldn't have captured the world's hearts.
But he couldn't. He could do nothing else with those little blue eyes.
staring at breaking the fourth wall with me. Talking about what Stevie's up to. So imagine, did they want an episode where like all the girls die or something? Would that, yeah, that wouldn't really know. Fit in the mythos.
It's just a strange, of course, those who know me well know I am a woman hater. That's an interesting statement on the face. I can tolerate Marianne and Mrs. Howell, but not Sleazy Ginger.
If I get to know you and I know you to be a woman hater, I'm going to want to know you less.
Yeah.
The buck stops there.
Yeah, I've wandered so far into this forest that I see the crazed, awful animals that live inside it, and I turn around and I walk out of this forest.
Right, I don't care if I got to make some coconuts into a jet pack to get out of there. I'm getting out of there.
Bah. I don't know that we're not going to find anything of insight on Queen of the Goons.
No gooners on Gilligan's Island. That's
the wrong way.
That's very, wrong, I think, genre way. Specific.
I do need to look that up. Wrong way on Gilligan's Island. I'm guessing that's going to be. Oh no! Okay, I was afeared there for a moment. He's a pilot. There was a pilot that was, they referenced Wrong Way, and I was sure that was going to be some native islander that they liked because it was an awful caricature. But no, Wrong Way was, I guess, a pilot who must have crash landed and spent some time there. But it was a man, not a sleazy woman, so that's why they liked it.
Man, what an eventful day on the island that must have been.
Must have been.
We have a guest.
Look, it's the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, it was the Harlem Globetrotters crash for 1 week. How'd they get off? The aliens took them away. I have a review.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know which one to click on, so I guess I'm going to click on this one. From Amazon, Cuisinart. That sounds worse than what I said. Coffee grinder, electric burr, one touch, automatic grinder with 18 position grinder, selector stainless steel, DBM 8P1. It's, I would say, a rather large coffee grinder.
Okay.
Melissa H. titles her review, Overall a Great Daily Grinder. She writes, we use this grinder daily for our coffee beans pros. Holds a ton of beans, almost a pound. Grinds beans from very fine to very coarse. Relatively easy to clean, and the basin comes out for washing, easy to use, and a set amounts of cups to grind. Cons: hard to remove the beans if you pour too much. If you want to change between regular and decaf, super loud when grinding. I like fresh coffee, but grind at night as not to wake anybody up in the morning. Collects dust easily. I wipe mine down almost daily, but overall a good machine for daily use if you want to make certain things a habit, like remembering to wipe down, empty before refilling, and grind when nobody will be disrupted by it. 4 stars.
Hmm. Hmm. Isn't the point of coffee to wake you up? I think if we make like a little noise, maybe that kind of helps. I know. If it's just for you, you don't want to wake other people up, but come on.
That's not what the commercials will lead you to believe. You know, you're making coffee. Everyone is like Bugs Bunny wafting after a pie coming out of their room in the morning.
That Folgers scent that hits my nose. That Maxwell House. Ooh, I'm so glad I'm home. So glad I'm home for the holidays. Ooh.
If I'm smelling that sweet scent of morning coffee, the supersonic explosion waking me up is the least of my worries.
Mm. No, I'm just walking down in my PJs, giving my mom a hug. Ooh, wow. So great to get some home coffee now that I'm back from war.
Right, this Cuisinart is a great chance to sort of Pavlov's dog your whole family. Get them salivating at the right time.
Snap to attention. Whoa. It's coffee time.
Yeah, when a 20-ton bomb goes off in the kitchen, every time someone needs a pound of beans grinded.
I want one of those sort of old-timey, like, air raid sirens. I want my coffee grinder to sound like that.
Yeah, the whole neighborhood.
You just rotate it. You crank the little thing.
You have to climb up a bell tower to use the coffee grinder.
That's what we're missing these days in America, a sense of community, a sense of, are we about to die this morning? Nope. Okay, it's just time for Joe.
Yeah, why don't we have a shoot system? Every day someone gets up and has to grind the coffee, and it all falls down the tower.
We say, oh, let's go out collecting rubber and bits of metal, because this war is going to be tough on all of us.
Unless we have some great coffee.
Ooh.
Golly, in the morning, sharp.
We can take down any Nazis we want if we've got a fine cup of Joe.
A cup of Joseph. Half water, half coffee. Because what's coffee but just coffee and water? Extra water won't hurt the coffee.
But it'll help our boys in across the sea.
Right. You know what they say about it, it makes you poop good when you got hot water. So just put hot water in your coffee. Then it's a health drink. And then it doesn't matter that your eardrums explode.
I thought it was the coffee that made you go.
It made you go. Wah.
Cleaned you out like a bell whistle.
So they also mentioned it collects dust easily, that they have to wipe it down daily.
Yeah, what? How?
Have you ever had a dust magnet in your house?
No, other than like game consoles that are from the previous generation.
Sure.
Even then, not much.
But those are just in unuse, in their forgotten. All of a sudden, to your perception, they're covered in dust. But this, right. Allegedly, you leave the room, come back in, dust has attacked.
A daily dust, yeah. Dust has respawned.
Right, yeah, maybe it's not so much the dust is being attracted to it. Maybe it's just a byproduct. You get coffee and dust.
Yeah, we could certainly think, oh, it's just like coffee bean dust? But I don't know.
That's a specific kind of dust. It's got a nice smell to it.
If you say you're wiping it down with such regularity, I wouldn't expect that. Nary a mite of dust would accumulate anywhere.
Right.
You're wiping down this thing. The rest of your house is probably wiped down.
Yeah. If I'm watching daily and dust is collecting, that's conspiracy theory. Ghosts are in the equation or something.
What aren't you telling us?
Every time they make a pound of coffee, they also grind a pound of dust to put in the air right next to it.
Take a freeze-dried potato and just grind that sucker up.
Old stuff from the bottom of the laundry. Grind it all up, blast it out. Good morning. I don't know. If you don't want a loud coffee maker, why do you need a coffee maker you need to pass an entire pound through?
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
How many cups is a pound of coffee?
That seems like an excessive amount of Joe.
I've had enough Joe. You know, Joe's good in little bursts. You drink too much Joe, your eyes start bleeding. That's a metaphor for life. Do you have a review?
I do. I think I'm going with this one. It's a bit of a mouthful, but I'm going to do it. So, it's a Google review for a restaurant called Bar Cheeto in Downers Grove, Illinois. It's a Mexican restaurant. John Holder writes, "Wow. Just wow. From the moment you walk up to Bar Cheeto on a nice day like today, you can't help but get excited. From the sprawling street patio to the sound of Latin music to the laughs and genuine sound of happiness of the already seated patrons enjoying craft cocktails and fresh tapa-style shared dishes. One is already jealous of those with Pablo's incredibly refreshing cocktails in hand. So my wife, my newborn son, and I had to snatch a patio table and see what all the fuss is about, and boy were we in for an amazing time. We decided to go all out because with a newborn, we don't get the chance all that often. We ordered the guacamole, of course, which tasted like they made it 10 minutes ago, as well as the chorizo and queso dip, which in my opinion was the star of the show, to start things off. We also ordered the Despacito and Paloma de la Casita cocktails, both of which were incredibly refreshing. You can tell they use freshly squeezed juice in these cocktails. For the main course, we ordered the albondigues, steak fajitas, and aji tuna tostadas, which were all served on fun plates, and everything came out of the kitchen super fast. Okay, so earlier I said the queso dip was the star of the show, but I was wrong. The albondigas, Spanish meatballs, became my new favorite. Bravo, Chef Dan! Service was prompt. We even got a visit from the general manager, Jonathan, who made sure we were enjoying ourselves. The cocktails were spectacular, and the food tasted so fresh, we thought we were dining in Guadalajara. Thank you for the amazing experience, Barchito. We will be back, and we will tell our friends to do the same. 5 stars.
Nothing makes me feel like Guadalajara quite like Dan and Steve and Mike being around.
Yeah, General Manager Jonathan.
Well, hello. Are you enjoying your tapas and tacos? I am Dan.
I'll be your waiter today. My name is Anthony. We have an exciting special on margaritas and guacamole.
We kid, but I do love going into a Mexican restaurant and all the staff is Hispanic, and you get the one white dude. There's like a white college kid working there.
Right.
The Spanish major is doing tables part-time.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, hey, go over there. Right. Go take those gringos.
It's just so like, there's nothing wrong with it. This man is perfectly capable of telling the back of his house what order I want, but it's just like, oh, Kyle's here. What's up, Kyle? All right, we're having a Kyle experience today.
Hey, Kyle, nice shirt.
But right. If the whole restaurant's Kyle's, you know, that makes me a little worried about the authenticity of the place, for better or for worse.
This is just some gentrified honky-tonk hunk of trash.
Right. And, you know, looks like a Buffalo Wild Wings staff at some point.
Now that is a statement.
I mean, you ever go to a Buffalo Wild Wings and feel taken care of these days?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
I've never walked into my local El Serape or Taco Burrito Mexico and not felt taken care of. I'll tell you that much right now.
Yeah, generally, you feel like you're part of the family.
Oh, yeah.
You got B-dubs and you're like, why am I both greasy and sticky at the same time? This shouldn't be.
Why is there 100 TVs and they're all playing sports that I don't want to watch?
Why are we watching darts right now?
I can watch darts or golf commercials.
Oh,
this,
boy.
I don't think this TV's playing any golf. I think it's just golf commercials. I think that one's got Cocoa Melon on.
Yeah.
But back to the review. I mean, I guess a full-ranging experience.
There were a couple things that stood out to me as just interesting. I guess maybe the most interesting is how John describe the guacamole tasting like they made it 10 minutes ago. I know it's not a huge detail, but like there are restaurants where they make the guacamole table side. So you know it's fresh.
Right.
But this is wow, that's it. Not like they just made it. It didn't taste like they just made it. It tasted like they made it 10 minutes ago.
Right.
Is that better? Maybe everything sort of melded together a bit? I don't know.
Yeah, it's got that leftover spaghetti effect.
Hey, man, wow. These pancakes must have come off the griddle 10 minutes ago.
They hate that at-the-table guacamole making. They say, hey, can you bring that into the back and put it in the fridge for 10 minutes? God,
let it, you know, let all the flavors marriage together. Let them mush in.
Let them get to know each other, would you? Jeez.
Before I put that in my mouth, it needs to sit for 10 minutes at least.
10 minutes is the ideal age of a guacamole. The brown just starts to set in.
I love a little brown because then you scoop it away and you're like, oh, there's bright green beneath that brown.
Do you have any in the back with the fudge brown coating?
What vintage is this guacamole? Seems like an 8 minutes at best.
Oh, no, please don't bring me a 15. Please, God. I like a 10. And that's final.
Swirling the tortilla chip.
Yeah. It's. I mean, I guess it's indicative of someone trying really hard to make a smart-sounding review, and they just...
Yeah, I think that's mainly what we have here.
They're lost in the word sauce.
Describing the plates as fun.
Right. They're so deep in the, like, wow. Elementary school thesaurus, trying to make sure the sentences are the right length, so they're smart, that they realized... Or that they didn't even realize that saying this was made 10 minutes ago is a wild way to refer to food as fresh.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the freshly squeezed juices for the cocktails, that's no problem. But 10-minute-old guac?
What? 10-minute, yeah. It feels like they made my mark 10 minutes ago. It's such like almost an insult, almost like a geez.
It's
weird.
It's bizarre.
It's not like... 10 minutes food can really go bad in 10 minutes, but no. Like
that'd be like your regular ticket time.
What are they doing? What are they doing in that 10 minutes? Though? Why would they make it and let it sit anyway? What was the last thing?
The last thing that is just a little peculiar is how he describes my wife, my newborn son, and I had to snatch a patio table and see what the fuss was about. Just the way that's phrased again, like the.
Yeah.
He's got it. Ooh, I'm using my list, my comma separated list of myself, my wife, my newborn son. We had to see what the fuss was about. Like the baby was like, Dad, let's pull up here and see what's going on at Bar Cheeto.
Dad, if we really want this experience, don't we need the patio? Come on, Dad. Are we half-assed out here, Pops? This year, Pops?
Yeah, just the phrasing
sick.
Of that.
I'm trying to get the tapas. We trying not to have the margs on the patio, you fucking idiot.
I'm not going to be a newborn forever. Yeah, just the insinuation that the baby was an integral part of the decision in going to Bar Cheeto. Like, ugh, we gotta. Come on, Dad.
Even without the baby, I think it's such a strange sentence. The baby, yeah. the baby factor definitely brings it straight to absurdity. But before that, it's just like, did you? Is that what you did?
God, who's fuss is about? I'm hearing laughter. I'm hearing genuine joy.
Why are you adding third party characters that, you know, we don't get to learn about? Who's this fussing? At one point, you've invited in, you've made it part of the story. Now I need to know. On the other hand, I don't want to know at all. So you've just written yourself into a corner
you
could
be,
with your little
just
margaritas.
Be a solo fuss finder. Like how you're walking down the street with your family, you hear a kerfuffle, you hear some fuss, and you're like, family, we need to go check that out. I don't know if you want to put your family in that sort of situation. You don't know what kind of fuss you might find.
Family, I know there was a fuss, but it appears that this. They are letting the margarita juice sit for 20 minutes before they stir it, so this is a good place. I understand the fuss. We're on a journey today to put an end to the fuss. I think we got to go see what all the fuss is about these breaks things.
Fuss finders away.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode. And welcome to... That's the sound of typing. Someone typing... Thanks, Abby, because this is Thanks, Abby. It's a segment where pretty much we just read Dear Abbys and react to them as if they were reviews, because it can kind of be funny sometimes. And I also don't want to forget that I made this as a segment, so I'm doing it again.
Hey, no, I thought it was a good segment. This is a Dear Abby segment on a podcast. That's class.
So today I've got two separate Dear Abbys. Here is the first. Dear Abby, I am writing this in hope that the man of my dreams reads it. I don't know how to approach him. He's getting ready to retire, and I have fallen deeply in love with him as the years have gone by. He's a little on the chubby side, as am I, but his personality has always amused me. Sometimes he poses sexy as a joke, and will often show his belly button. I find him staring at me out of the corner of his eyes most days. Please help before it's too late. I'm running out of time. His dream guy in Tennessee. Any reaction to that? Or we want to get the full picture.
Yeah, let's see what's going on here.
Okay. Dear dream guy, you stated that your dream man is getting ready to retire. I can't think of a better reason for a celebration. Suggest the two of you go out for a drink or dinner after work, quote, so you can toast his upcoming retirement. Then cross your fingers that he agrees. It could be the start of something beautiful. And Abby.
Wow, what? Abby, killing it. Cutting through the fat.
Yeah. Yeah, Abby was to the point with that one.
Abby said, hey, I know you included a lot of bullshit in your question, but hey. Let me just give you a straight answer.
Maybe Abby is of the same opinion that I am. They're like, you gave some strange details there.
Yep.
Like, yep. Sometimes my coworker poses sexy. What? Sometimes my coworker shows his belly button. Excuse me. Sometimes my coworker stares at me out of the corner of his eye, which just like, I'm imagining staring at someone out of the corner of my eye. I don't think I could do that for very long. Eyes get tired.
And there's no, like, they don't tell you what all this implies. They just are giving you the cold, hard facts like a newspaper. Coworker. Belly button. Has peripheral vision.
Oh, God.
Utilizes peripheral vision.
Yeah, Happy I don't know.
Like, okay, I think this person needs to see the world in a straightforward way. Let me just give it to him.
If you like him, ask him out, more or less. It's a coy ask them out. Oh, yeah, the chubby side. He's a little chubby, just so you know, Abby. He's kind of a little roly-poly, but I am too.
Don't worry, Abby. I am too. I can make it work. I'm chubby too, Abby. I can make it work. I don't show my belly button, but I could, Abby. Please.
What should I do?
What should I do? I could show my belly button. What do I do, though?
I cannot imagine being in that sort of like, oh, they're going to retire and I'm never going to see them again. What a strange life.
Right. Every time I quit a job and people get like that, I get so eye-rolly about it. Really? Like, so we went to this place we hated. We saw each other every day. And now I'm quitting this place and you're so sad that you're not going to see me. So instead of just to address that situation, you go, oh, no, I'm never going to see you again. Instead of saying, hey, Brent, can I have your phone number?
Yeah.
Maybe we can get coffee sometime. Hey, Brent, can I have your Instagram? Let's keep in touch. Yeah. No, they just immediately start whining, but don't do anything about it.
If this was anything more than just a relationship based purely out of convenience, I think we're going to be fine. But if it was circumstantial, right. If we were kind of, you know, shackled together on the same awful assembly line, you're not going to miss me a week from now.
No, that's the damn thing. If you would, we would have done something about it. We would have done something about it already, you know? If we were friends, we would just be friends. And then, you know, not keeping in touch with your work buddies after you're done working there doesn't mean you weren't friends or are not friends. It just means that y'all are in new parts of your life now, and that necessarily ain't the vibe that you're hanging out every day. It ain't a big deal.
Nah. This next year, Abby, sounds like a bit of a big deal, though.
Let's give it to me.
Dear Abby, my girlfriend's 36-year-old son refuses to work. He has every excuse in the book. No job is just right for him. Without any education or training, he expects to make $20 per hour. Even then, he either quits or gets fired. He has lived off his family for all of the 5 years I have known him. He couldn't find a job, even part-time last year, and never paid rent. We were forced to move. Now, we are in a 55-plus community that does not allow, quote, children. And her son is hiding in the living room and porch. He has created a cell for himself. If discovered, the community can evict us. How do we get him out? Signed, Prison for All in Florida. You want Abby's response?
Yeah, I need to know what she says this time.
Dear Prison for All, the son is 36 and, quote, hiding in a cell he has created for himself? Is he mentally disabled? Taking drugs? After 5 years, it's time you and your girlfriend formed a united front and gave her son a deadline by which to find a job and move. After that deadline, he can couch surf with friends if necessary. Then, cross your fingers and pray the management of the community in which you live doesn't catch on to what's been going on, or you and your girlfriend may well be looking for another home as well.
Yeah, I mean, she lays it down easy, right? Like, just do it.
Yeah, be firm.
I think the other thing, too, that she kindly doesn't mention is this isn't – you're trying to cut the head off a snake, right? This problem started a long time ago before he was even there. And I don't want to harsh on my millennial fellows for living at home a little bit longer. Let's normalize that, right? Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be – that's not anything crazy with how rent prices are.
Right.
But bro is making no effort to – to alleviate the situation, allegedly, right?
Allegedly.
And I think, like Abby hints at, there's something that we don't have all the information either.
Mm-hmm.
This person's just painting a villain of their stepchild, just a useless. What's their side of the story? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that description of it being he's created a cell for himself is kind of, that's a little telling. Ooh, he's an animal and he's locked himself up. He's no good.
Yeah, I think Abby knows that this came from a place of judgment. And I think she encouraged them to go to a place of honesty where everything was on the table. You know, where people were being clear about their intentions and desires. Because of all the things going on, it sounds like, yeah, that's what they could use.
Also, it just sounds like a great sitcom plot.
Oh, yeah.
How long will you last in the 55-plus community? Don't get found out.
Yeah, living in the walls of the retirement home so you don't have to get a job at 7-Eleven. I mean, working in the service industry, he probably... The amount of shame you feel working in the service industry every day could pale in comparison to living in the walls of a retirement home like a rat.
Yeah, I don't know. If you get to build forts and stuff, that sounds kind of fun.
Right. Right. Sure, this guy's video game schedule is immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
With or without wall navigation. any more Abigail? That's all right. She cooked for us this week.
Yeah, she did. She gave it to us hot and fresh.
We got simple Abby this week. We got Abby telling it like it is, but not in the fun, viral, cool way that is usually displayed, where she tells someone off for being an idiot and shows everyone. She showed these people they were idiots just by like giving them the most first grade hand holding. Okay, this is what you do here, right?
You're 14. You're not in love.
I do like that the first one is because of too much information, and the second one is because of a lack of information. Yeah. But I got some info for you. Do you want another Amazon review for some 90s nostalgia bait product, or do you want a rate your music for some 90s nostalgia bait music?
Rate your music's always kind of a different flavor, so let's go there.
Sure. Yeah, rate your music is fun. So for rate your music, I have a review for Human Clay, a 1999 album by the band Creed.
Nice.
For those who don't know, it's post-grunge, hard rock, Christian rock, alternative metal going on here. By Steve Pulaski. I'll just jump into it. They title it An Ignorant Man's First Time Dive into Creed. Man, the 1990s had some strange album breakouts and shatter records, didn't they? Creed's Human Clay is a significant come down over their pretty promising debut. Outside of the three singles, What If is quite fun, despite its stupid lyrics. Nothing truly stands out. Wash Away Those Years is quite poignant and relatively underrated, but like most songs here, it's burdened by being too long with nothing very interesting to say. Both of these songs could have been trimmed, particularly the solos and instrumentation is mostly unremarkable. This has all the makings of a good post-grunge album. Its sound is hard without being intimidating, brooding without being too despondent, and rugged without being unfriendly. I know I didn't endure the time with arms wide open. I know I didn't endure the time when With Arms Wide Open was ostensibly the most overplayed song on the planet. So I still find it to be a pretty heartwarming ballad with a chorus that's well conceived. Stapp's vocal prowess, yes, I said it, comes through strongly, and I can feel his sincerity. I can feel the sincerity he has about becoming a father. That said, the string version is just better, a bit more subdued and less burdened by the corporatized rock and roll sound. Human Clay doesn't match its cool album cover. That much is true. 2.5 stars.
I was going to mention the album cover. man, okay. A bit of hot and cold you're playing with us.
Sure. Yeah, I think as much flack as these albums have gotten over the years, this genre, the guy genre, sort of the post they sort of stand the test of time in that I think people are realizing they're not quite as hateable as they are. They're just insanely middling, which almost makes it weird to hate them.
So maybe that point is valid, that there's some overly wrought instrumentation. Maybe if they were trimmed down, they'd be a bit more consumable.
Uh-huh.
But hey, when you're a Christian rocker at an outdoor venue and they're riffing those riffs, you got your arms wide open. Yeah, you just want those. You want some instrumental portions to just raise your hands, raise your face up to high heaven, and feel the rain.
Yeah, when you're trying to get in a connection with some otherworldly thing, I don't know if you need the complex instrumentation. I think you just need the da-da-da-da-da. You need some sweet solos to make you feel good. You don't want to be thinking about too much when you go to that Papa Murphy's pizza booth in between sets.
I just want to say, man, I can tell he's really excited to be a dad.
As I bite into my Christian rock festival Papa Murphy pizza.
Good putting the credit on his voice. He does have a good voice. It's a style.
His voice is a choice, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not. It's just like a country twang. It's a different style.
Yep. I mean, he does sing from his old crussy. So his old crudusy. He is out there belting.
We probably didn't talk about this on the show. Didn't you say something like when they filmed the music video for 6 Feet from the Edge, whatever that song is?
Yeah, is that Arms Wide Open? That song is the one in the music video. He's sort of falling at the camera for half of it, right? Just like 3D green screen, waving his hands like with a fan in his hair. Yeah, and then the climax hits and he hits the ground. And they wanted him to do his own stunt where he, you know, fell an inch and a half and hit the ground. And he wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it, and he wouldn't do it. And finally they got him to do it. And he fell an inch and a half. They got the shot. And he got up and screamed, "I'm done! I'm done!" And then it left, and they didn't shoot anymore that day. Or something like that. That's not the exact story. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but I heard that somewhere. It's funny to me because I don't know, a podcast is not unlike having a garage band, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And if we made it big, and I know our comedy sensibilities, our physical humor sensibilities, mm-hmm. are a little different than some guy who just wants to play his guitar and sing about how 6 feet isn't really that, you know, that big of a number. But I got a cool music video that was getting $1 million and they wanted me to do a stunt. I would say, get that stunt man out of here. This is my music video. I'll fall a foot and a half 37 times. You know, I want to do it until they have to say stop because I'm going to get some bruises and there's going to be continuity errors. But maybe that's just our different artistic sensibility. You can't have that kind of artistic sensibility at the Christian rock concert or festival.
Nah.
What's that freaking chicken place, dude? I can't even think about it.
Oh, Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, it'd make the Chick-fil-A booth taste way funny if you had those sort of art. Artistic sensibilities there. Someone doing slapstick comedy on the stage.
Never, never.
Do you have a quick review? Let's get away from this human clay.
Yeah, I got it's a fairly quick Amazon review for the Kraft Easy Mac microwavable macaroni and cheese, 6.7 ounce packets, pack of 18. A lot of people bought these thinking they were the cups, but they're just like little tiny packets. But here's this review from Madeline Casilli. She writes, she titles her review, "What is this stuff?" And writes, "As per another post, Kraft should be ashamed of themselves for even creating this and selling this as food. The taste, if you can call it that, is beyond description. Horrible comes readily to mind. My bad, but it was only after it arrived and we tasted, quote, it. Did I look at the contents of the packets? That explains some of it. Never again. If you don't like yourself or want to get even with someone, feed them this. with Kraft knowing that many parents feed this to their children as their, quote, meal. They show that, quote, big business and, quote, big bucks are all that matter. Don't give a thought to the nutritional effects of this, quote, stuff on growing bodies. Just give them garbage and rake in the bucks. Kraft, quote, you should be ashamed of yourselves. 1 star.
Quote, should they? End quote.
I don't think so.
This just sounds like someone who thought they liked Easy Mac and then had Easy Mac for the first time and realized how dog shit that stuff is.
Yeah, now that mom's not making it for you and putting like extra butter and stuff and making it good.
Like, oh God. No, you do Easy Mac how the label tells you to make it. You ain't having food. There's nothing edible that happens at the other end of Easy Mac, which always blew my mind because, like, ramen's such a no-brainer. Ramen instant noodle is so good.
It's simple. Dead simple.
But you just can't do it with the cheese flavor for some reason. That cheese flavor needs 10 minutes of sitting, not on, like, guac.
It needs to temper out a bit.
Right. The quotation marks can add a lot of power.
Not here. Not here. Like, some of them might make sense. Quote, food. The quote, taste. Sure. Quote, big business. Quote, big bucks. Sure. But when you quote, it? When we tasted, quote, it? Like, what else is it? What are you talking about?
Right. The pronoun, using the pronoun it for the food is already biting. You're already using grammar to your advantage here in fun and interesting ways. You do not need the quotes as well.
I don't get quote it.
I know. Not only the statement itself lends your misunderstanding, doesn't it?
Just doesn't make any sense.
I don't get quote it. I know. You don't need the quotes. People aren't going, and this goes without saying too, but people aren't eating Kraft mac and cheese for the health benefits. Not all people eat every single meal for health benefits. They don't have that privilege. They don't have the time. They don't have the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an Easy Mac hater, as I've said before, but boy, has some Kraft mac and cheese saved my butt.
Yeah,
put some some fuel in the tank. When getting something healthier and more extravagant was a little out of the question.
Or as you say, when time is spare.
Yep.
All I got time for is throw some water in bubble it up. Let's go.
Spin it around. Put this water, tell it bubble, put the noodle in there, tell it soft. Get rid of that water, put in the tasty stuff. And then you can eat it, and it's warm, and it makes you feel happy. All right, sometimes that's all you can ask for from a meal. Unless it's Easy Mac. Don't ask anything from Easy Mac. I remember the first time I had Easy Mac, I was so excited. Like, oh, you can just microwave this shit now? And I ate it, and I was like, oh, this is just water. This is just water and noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yellow sadness dust. But don't be sad, you know, because you're in the Real Ones Club. You made it to the end of ReviewParty.com.
Real Ones.
Episode 195. Welcome. Thank you. Et cetera, et cetera. Real One, we'd like you to know you got new episodes of this podcast every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. If you want to be a part of the show, you can send in a review. And we might read it if it's funny and good and delicious. We like that kind of stuff. So yeah, send a hyperlink or a screenshot to the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name so we can throw you some credit.
If you want to reach out to us in some other way, hey, Instagram, TikTok @reviewparty.com, Twitter/@reviewpartypod. You can read our reviews if and when we write them on Letterboxd. Just search Review Party. And hey, we have a website, reviewparty.com.com. There's the blogs there. There's all the episodes and listening platforms there. If oh no, Google Podcasts is dying or is already dead when you're listening to this. Oh my goodness, how could Google fall? How could Google fail? Well, guess what? They can, apparently. But not Podknife. You guys are still out there, I hope. Go to reviewparty.com. Find a bunch of fun stuff. Promise, it's there.
They say starting a podcast is scary because you're one in an ocean of millions. Starting a goddamn podcast distributor is scary, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are you fighting Google and Spotify, but thousands of other tiny little nothing worms vying for clicks. Anyway, enough about the politics of this podcast. I know what you want. You want to hear about the theme song, Bread for Breakfast, by Nosebleeds. They're wonderful. They let us use it because they're very cool. If you thought it was a good song, you're very smart. You can find more songs to have good takes about. Search Nosebleeds on Spotify. One word there. I got one to finish us off from Amazon. Blender bottle, classic V2 shaker bottle, perfect for protein shakes and pre-workout, 20 ounce clear black. It's about as basic as a shaker bottle as you can get. Got the little metal ball in there, go crazy.
Nice.
Barbara R. titles it my favorite. She writes, it's my fourth one. Best ones, 5 stars.
I don't even know what to say.
You're the best. Gotta keep getting them.
Barbie's got muscles.